This is the TTY Dialer, episode 42 for the week of August 14th through August 19th. Hello, welcome to your weekly companion to WRVO's Old Time Radio Show, Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Livonier. Every single night you can tune in live on the air and hear Golden Age of Radio drama, mystery, adventure, suspense, western, sci-fi, and much more. And it's also streaming live as we air it on WRVO.org. This weekly podcast brings you a blend of radio history, we have some fun with sound from radio's yesteryear, and a look at the shows coming up for the week.
When old friends meet by chance and one says, "Let's have a Coke," aren't those blessed words, especially considering the weather lately? So you head for the nearest soda fountain and sit down together over a glass of delicious, refreshing, ice-cold Coca-Cola while each of you reports his latest doings. That's one of the things that makes our soda fountains the pleasant, sociable places they are. The kind of place you're always glad to visit, where friends are forever gathering. Make good use of this wonderful institution, everybody's club, no matter how near or far from home. And remember, one excellent way to make good friends better friends is for you to be the first to look around for a nearby fountain and be first to say when you meet a friend, "Let's have a Coke."
That was a commercial for the Mario Lanza Show. He was one of the most popular tenors of the late 1940s and early 50s, and he was on the air as a summer replacement for the vacationing Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy program. Lanza's time on the air was pretty much short, and the same went for the Coca-Cola Company's sponsoring of radio programs shortly after the close of Mario's program in 1952, where they put their now renowned and massive advertising budget behind television shows like Eddie Fisher's program called Coke Time. Although the soda company mainly backed music shows on radio like spotlight bands, they had one enduring association with a radio show that mirrored the brand's popularity at the time, and that was a show called Claudia, better known as Claudia and David. It was in a soap opera-style format that followed the weekly goings-on of a newlywed couple, and it was one of those relatively rare spin-off programs that was first inspired by a skit on a previous show that spun out to something full-time, much like the Bickersons in that way, but not the same temperature of a couple married maybe for a bit too long.
John,
Close
the window. It's cold outside.
If I close the window, will it be warmer outside?
Oh, get up and close it. I'm freezing to death.
Put a pan under it. I'll have the plumber in the morning.
This Monday on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, August 14th, it's comedy from the Jack Benny Show and the Gulfstream Guild Theater. Then an hour of true history with the Doctor Fights from 1944, and a great episode of The Passing Parade, which brings us the story of Typhoid Mary.
To deal with this somewhat blood-curdling case, I'll have to follow the lines of a detective story, except that I'll try to stick to the facts. This life adventure will take 2 days in the telling, so both this and our next broadcast will be required. For the first clue, we must learn a couple of facts about typhoid fever.
And you'll hear both episodes for the full story. This Tuesday, August 15th at 10, drama from your Movietown Radio Theater, then the Hallmark Playhouse, followed by crime at 11 from episodes of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, and Crime Classics from 1954. So if these sound good to you, make a point to listen Monday, August 14th and Tuesday, August 15th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. One of the most popular kid show hosts in radio history was born this Saturday, August 19th in 1889, and was known to millions of kids as Uncle Don. And though his reputation after his show folded was marred by rumors of a very famous on-air gaffe, he was a fixture on the air during radio's golden era. Uncle Don Carney was born Howard Rice in Missouri, and as a boy he was fascinated with the circus, so he joined it when he was in his teens. And after that he hit the vaudeville stage with a one-man show. Part of his act featured him playing piano while standing on his head. He really was a born entertainer, and after making his way across the country performing, he ended up at New York City's major mutual broadcasting system affiliate, station WOR, where he was employed as a staff announcer and for a time a stand-in, not headstand, piano player for the station. So one day a teddy bear company salesman visited the station with the offer of sponsoring a show, and Don Carney was given an assignment that would change his life forever. He had a half-hour deadline, and he was asked to come up with a show that incorporated the potential sponsor's teddy bears, and Carney spun out a storyline about a group of bears that were lost and couldn't be found. Now, it may not sound like much, but the real bears for sale were made with buttons in their ears. And part of Carney's story was the fact that they couldn't be traced because the buttons were missing. He left the new sponsor and management impressed with his quick ideas and storytelling ability, which led to his own daily kids program on WOR called Uncle Don, which would end up entertaining young listeners for over two decades with silly stories and advice for kids, birthday greetings, and plenty of songs. His show was broadcast in a seven-state area, starting in 1928, and for a brief time it went national, which was pretty much unheard of for a kid show during that era, where most kids' programs were made locally to give kids a sense of home and connectivity to the host. He really became part of a preschooler and kindergartner's family. He even was on the air Saturday mornings reading the comic strips. The Uncle moniker wasn't necessarily new in radio at that time, but his success with the name and style of show actually created a lot of jealousy in the business from other hosts from around the country due to his popularity and astronomical salary in the early 1930s, where he was making $75,000 a year. That's about $1.3 million today. And it may have been in part due to that jealousy of his success that led to a rumor of a famous radio blooper that never actually happened. Though never recorded in any publication as such, the story went kind of like this. After one of Uncle Don's broadcasts came to an end and he thought the microphones were turned off, he remarked to the engineer, quote, "There, that ought to hold the little bastards," while the microphone was still supposedly on and broadcast what he said over the air. So now this has been considered a legendary blooper, and the person responsible was a producer named Kermit Schaefer, who took this rumor in the 1950s and had an actor recreate it for a radio blooper record that sold very well for many years, leading to Don Carney having to defend himself in interviews that the incident never even happened. It was that blooper record that really planted the belief in people's minds that it did happen. Apparently, one of the country's most popular children's show hosts wasn't suspended or fired for the incident. Didn't prove to be evidence enough, as some claim to have heard it live on the air. Even some claim to be in the studio at that time, and they were later discredited because of incorrect times and dates and the like when they were challenged. It's kind of a sad, overshadowing part of a host who really made a great impact on broadcasting and, of course, the legions of kids who were listening in. Here's some sound now from Uncle Don. Interestingly, broadcast by recording captured in Miami while he was on vacation, so he didn't let down the children listening on the Upper East Coast.
Well, okay, let's sing a little Hibbity Gets then, and see if you can sing it good and loud, so I'll be sure I hear you all the way down here, will you? All right, I'll sing the first part. Hello, nephews, nieces, too, mothers and daddies, how are you? This is Uncle Don, all set to go with a meeting on the radio. We'll start off with a little song. To learn the words will not take long, for they're as easy can be. Come on now and sing with me. Hibbity gets hot, sa-ring-bo-ree. Sabonius, skibbity, high-low-dee. Honey-co-doke with an alakazam. Sing a song with your Uncle Don. That was swell. Yes, indeed. You get all four breaks on that. Now, let's call a meeting to order and have our Pledge of Allegiance. Here we go. Three raps of the gavel. Meeting will please come to order. Together, let us give our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That was fine. Members may all take seats. Oh, this is a lot of fun. Oh, boy, this is really fun. I've always enjoyed this. Well, I have a few birthdays that the Ways and Means Committee got down here. Well, in fact, I brought these along with me for today. I knew we wouldn't have time for very many, but Irene Ruth Schreck of New York City is 8 years old today and has a birthday in Rahway, New Jersey, too. Well, Ronald DeSillers is having a birthday today. There's a present right in back of the radio, back of where I am in your radio. Well, I mean, even if I am down in Florida, I'm still in your radio. Yeah. And Peggy Brown of New York City is 10 years old. Now, there are no doubt many, many other birthdays, and I wish you all a happy birthday, if you're having one today. And also, if there's anyone on the sick list, I hope you'll soon be well. Do try and get well real soon, will you? Okay. Well, let's have a little song, shall we? Okay, I think that's a good way to start things. Me, 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 me. Yeah, it'll be all right. I tell you what, we haven't sung a song in a long time about the King of the Cannibal Islands, and yeah, that's one that's on our new album of records, you know, the Sonora Records, the third album. Yeah, Uncle Don's Song Shop. Let's sing about the King of the Cannibal Islands, shall we? Well, you know the words to it? Well, we'll pick it up together. Here we go. And now a song I'm going to sing about a funny little king. He is the boss of everything that lives on the Cannibal Islands. His name is Hokey Pokey Winky Wum Polly Magoo Kingery Kung Hangery Wangery Chingery Chung, the King of the Cannibal Islands. You have to learn that one. Oh, that's a good one. He wears but few and scanty clothes. He wears a ring right through his nose. He wears rings on his ears and toes. King of the Cannibal Island. His name is, now all together, Hokey Pokey Winky Wum Polly Magoo Kingery Kung Hangery Wangery Chingery Chung, King of the Cannibal Island. Do you get that one? Can you sing it yet? Well, let's take it one line at a time now. Maybe we can learn it. We tried that before, and it worked out fine. You want to try it? All right, I'll sing one line. It's Hokey Pokey Winky Wum. Now, you see if you can say that. Hokey Pokey Winky Wum. That's good. Here's the next line. Polly Magoo, Kingery Kung. Go ahead. Polly Magoo, Kingery Kung. Here's the next one. Hangery, wangery, chingery, chung. Now go ahead. Hangery, wangery, chingery, chung. The King of the Cannibal Islands. That was all right. Sure, you'll get that. Just a little practice, you know. Sure, pretty soon we'll have it. Well, so much for that. Say, you know, I've been thinking about something that's very important. Yeah, and I think now would be a good time for me to tell you about it. There. Well, here's what it is. It's about safety. I wonder if all you boys and girls, I know how it is. You hear a lot about safety now and then and about sort of watching things to be sure that you don't get hurt when you cross the streets and about going to school and all that sort of thing. And it's very, very important. Well, it certainly is. Now, of course, they have lights. Well, we know that. And you know the difference between the red light and the green light, don't you? Well, that's good. Now, if you just follow the light, that's going to be a big help. But some of you littler club members who are going to school now, and of course many of you are, yeah, lots of you maybe go to kindergarten too, for that matter, or whether you're going to school or no matter what you're doing, it's always nice if you can have some grown-up there to kind of see that you get across the street. Maybe not necessarily grown-up, but someone a little bit older. And so will you kind of watch that and watch the traffic lights? Because goodness knows I don't want anything to happen to any of you. All right? Well, that's that.
This Wednesday night, August 16th at 10 o'clock on Tune to Yesterday, a great story on the NBC University Theater will be broadcast called The Ministry of Fear. Then it's Studio One, headed up by Fletcher Markle, with the play Hay Fever from 1947. So we have 2-hour-long broadcasts that night. This Thursday, August 17th, horror from The Haunting Hour and The Weird Circle.
Is that a scar on your face?
No. No, I have no scar.
Look closer, there, on your right cheek.
It is. It is a scar. But it can't be. I never had one.
No, you didn't, did you? But remember, he had one. Yes. Behind you. Look.
You!
At 11 o'clock Thursday, August 17th, it's X-1 and Escape with a sci-fi story called Conqueror's Isle from 1949. So these shows are on the air Wednesday, August 16th and Thursday, August 17th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. Not have shouted like that when he was born this Tuesday, August 15th in 1910, but at around the age of 20, Johnny Raventini would be hollering in perfect B-flat tone, that slogan for the Philip Morris Company, making him one of the most famous spokesmen in radio, print, and advertising history. His career began one April evening in 1933 when he was working as a bellhop at the Hotel New Yorker, where he was known and even touted as the smallest bellhop in the world, standing at 4 feet tall. The hotel even featured his picture on their postcards. So one night he was spotted and heard in the lobby by two executives for the Philip Morris Tobacco Company, and it dawned on them right there that they could use his unique voice on the air and innocent look in their advertisements. What ensued was among the stranger radio auditions on record. The two company men walked up to Johnny and said, "We'll pay you $1 to page Mr. Philip Morris," in the lobby. As he later recalled in an interview, Robintini had no idea that Philip Morris was a brand of cigarettes and just thought that Mr. Morris wasn't around after he called for him. And after hearing that call, the company men offered him a contract to just repeat that line he said for a dollar with a character name of Little Johnny on radio. After thinking it over, he ended up accepting the terms of a very unique lifetime contract, and he made his first radio appearance just days after that lobby audition and would end up being a staple voice on NBC's quiz show Information Please, This Is Your Life, Rudy Valley's variety show Candid Microphone, and intermittently through the 1940s, he was featured on the Little Johnny Presents program, an occasional show that featured singers and bands. And he probably would be breaking his contract if he wasn't a regular on the Philip Morris Playhouse radio show.
This is Elliot Lewis. I sincerely believe that the Philip Morris Playhouse made a wonderful contribution to the literature of the best radio plays by producing tonight's show by David Ellis. And I was honored in being invited to appear in it. May I thank Philip Morris for the opportunity, and may I thank my friends and colleagues who appeared with me.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. And may I present you with this carton of Philip Morris cigarettes. And I hope you'll be among our listeners next Friday evening when the spotlight will be on Donald O'Connor.
I will, Johnny. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Lewis. This is Johnny again reminding you, call for Philip Morris!
Now goodbye, Johnny. See you next Friday, same time, same station, when once again we will present the Philip Morris Playhouse, starring Donald O'Connor. Until then...
In his 60 years pitching for Philip Morris, Johnny Robintini claims he never smoked himself and estimated that his famous call at appearances on and off the air was shouted close to a million times. This Friday, on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, we'll be bringing you Westerns with Jimmy Stewart as the Six Shooter. Also, Half Gun Will Travel. Then it's an hour of sitcoms at 11 from The Billy Burke Show and My Favorite Husband with Lucille Ball.
Well, what have you been doing? You should have been ready an hour ago.
Well, it's your fault.
My fault?
Yes, I wasted an hour stopping to tell you I'd be ready in a minute.
Well, what are you doing now?
I'm fixing my nails.
Oh, forget it and come on.
Forget it. I don't have any polish on my right hand.
Well, nobody will notice it.
Nobody will notice it?
Of course not. Keep your hand behind your back.
Won't they wonder why I'm shaking hands with my foot?
The Saturday Night Comedy again with Jack Benny and Fibber McGee and Molly, a 1950s and 40s broadcast back to back. Then it's Adventure at 11 from Suspense with Night Ferry to Paris. And Escape with one of their most famous episodes, Linogen versus the Ants from 1948. So be sure to listen to any or all of these shows. They're coming up Friday, August 18th, and Saturday, August 19th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. And again, you can read our monthly schedule online anytime and plan your listening at WRVO.org. So that's it for this week's TTY Dialer. If you have any questions for me or comments about the podcast, our Tune to Yesterday radio show, or anything old-time radio, get a hold of me with email at mark@wrvo.org. That's mark@wrvo.org. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.